You're listening to Know Your States, Know Your Community on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack. I'm here with Jim. And now it's time to move on to the free state, the old line state, the 18th most populous state, home to more than 6 million people, despite its relatively modest size, the 7th state in the Union, inducted into the Union on April 28, 1788. We are talking to a Marylander, David Barth. Hello, David.
Jack, good to be here with you.
Thank you for joining us.
I'm here.
And Jim, of course.
And did I get that right, Marylander?
Marylander, I think. Yeah, you could do that. It's Maryland.
Yeah.
Maryland is not quite there. Maryland, yeah. for Maryland. Idahoans, it's Maryland.
I do have to say, when you say Marylander, I think of M-E-R-R-Y. Like somebody happy from the land of Maryland. Okay, just that's the way it impresses
but
me.
But it's not Marylandian or any or Marylandese or anything.
Marylander. I like. Well, let's go with Marylander.
Marylander. Okay, David, and where within Maryland, where did you grow up?
You know, actually many places. It's a small state, and I was born in the western part in Cumberland, western Maryland. I lived in St. Mary's County, which is southern Maryland. That's on the Chesapeake Bay between the Patuxent and the Potomac Rivers, so agrarian, fisherman area. I lived in Montgomery County, which is right in and around D.C., Rock Creek Park, just, you know, right on the border. Lived in Ellicott City, which is over near Baltimore. So I've been in and around the
everywhere,
state.
Man.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about where you were born. Is it that little snippet of Maryland that's over West Virginia?
Yes, yes. So very western Maryland, right. So coal miners.
Okay. So what's the rest, what's the, since you've been all over the state, what's the geography like?
Yeah, the Appalachian Mountains run through the western part, the Catoctin Range is there in Frederick, Hagerstown, out going west. And so it's, you know, rocky ranges of small little hills compared to Idaho. They're little small ranges. You go east and it gets to be flatter. And then on the water with the rivers and the Chesapeake Bay. And so then you have, and the eastern shore is super flat.
So water comes into play quite a bit in the state.
For sure. Yeah, the Chesapeake Bay is a, you know, it's a huge gem. It was in the 70s and 80s. It was not doing so well and not as healthy. I grew up in St. Mary's County. Oysters were king. And so we had oyster festivals. So it's like smoked oysters, raw oysters, baked oysters, oyster shucking contests. And the health of the Chesapeake has come and gone. I haven't lived there for 35 years, but I know that that is, you know, as the, as part of the state, it's a central part.
It's a state like Idaho with an interesting, border to it. One of the more interesting in the country where, and like Idaho, you, to drive from one part of the state to another, you may pass through two other states to get there. Is it? Do you happen to know the reason for that? That there's that, that far western part is connected to the eastern part, or connected really to the central part, just by a rather narrow strip of land, but it's still part of Maryland.
Right. It sticks into West Virginia over there. I don't know, Jack, how come that's where the border was drawn. The northern, yeah, that northern part is Mason-Dixon line across to Pennsylvania. Right.
Yeah. And it's the only straight, flat border that Maryland has. Otherwise, it's just all chunked up.
It's likely it's topography. So rivers and bodies of water that make up parts of these borders.
Yeah.
Now, when did you move away from western Cumberland over to the water?
I was in grade school. I was probably six or seven, and we moved to St. Mary's County. That's an interesting story. My family was one of five families who bought an Amish farm in southern Maryland and turned it into an intentional community, a hippie commune, if you will, in the 70s.
Wow.
And so we had 240 acres. And so we, you know, we had gardens and animals and lots of kids running around and adults doing the thing back in that time frame. And interestingly, my mom moved away after 45 years. She was there. So the community still exists in a obviously different iteration than it did 50 years ago. We started in 1975.
Did the Chesapeake Bay come into play with you as a kid growing up or with your other friends? Did the water?
Absolutely. Many, you know, it was a, so tobacco farms and fishermen and oyster farmers or, you know, oyster fishermen, crabs, the Maryland crab is the state animal and that and the blue Maryland blue crab. And so, yeah, we would go swimming in the Chesapeake Bay, looking out for jellyfish jumping in, going crabbing.
Tell me about crabbing.
It's a commercial industry. So there would, you know, commercial fishermen would be collecting them, but individuals could go out. And so you could set your crab pots. You have a float, you know, like a small, like a lobster pot in Maine, but they're smaller. And so you could put those out. People would do that and have a flotation. And then you go along in your boat or your canoe and pull them up. You could just go off of a dock and hang your chicken leg off of a string and see if they could hold on to it while you get your net under there. So as kids, we would do that.
I've done that. I've done that where I have stood on shore with a string or a thin rope and tied on a piece of meat or something. And then you bring it in like you're praying a rosary, little by little,
That's
so
right.
you don't disengage them.
That's right.
That was so much fun.
Yeah, and so Old Bay seasoning, that is synonymous with Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the bay and the water. I mean, I can just... When I think of Old Bay, I can see the can and the square can with yellow and blue, it's got a very distinct flavoring.
Yeah, the bay, Chesapeake Bay, cuts the eastern, what's called the eastern shore of Maryland off from the rest. Have you spent much time over on the eastern shore? What we have learned is called the Delmarva Peninsula,
the
right?
Delmarva, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. Yes.
Oh, cool.
So the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, it's like I guess 4 or 7 miles across the bay.
Mm-hmm.
You could drive up and around, but the easiest way is to go across. You go from Annapolis across to the other side, Easton. And then my family, the farm, we would go over to Virginia Beach or Bethany Beach, which are on the ocean. And so that was the way through. And there are then melon farms and more tobacco and things on the eastern shore. In high school, I was in the competitive marching band, and so we did tournaments all over the place, and we would go to the eastern shore. So going across that bridge was, it became familiar.
Okay. Did you say melon farms?
Ooh, tell me more.
Like actual melons?
Peaches, like, cantaloupe, honeydew, corn. So the growing capacity on the eastern shore, because of it's sunny, it was warm and long seasons, and you know, sandy soil, they is really conducive for growing.
Interesting. What is the eastern shore like? Is that, I guess it, I mean, it's right next to Delaware. Is that more continually more of an urban area, or is that more rural?
It's much more rural.
Yeah.
There are smaller little towns. The urban centers are really in sort of the center. I mean, Baltimore is in eastern Annapolis, Baltimore on the, in the east, and DC really. And then it's like the hub of, as Virginia sticks in there, but the eastern shore is pretty agrarian and then rural, smaller towns.
Very interesting. Not really what I would have expected, you know.
The beach towns are for, you know, then you get the beach feel.
Yeah.
People would vacation in the beach for tourists.
Well, so something we can relate to out here, I suppose. Let's see. How about the cities? What's city life in Maryland like?
That's good. I would say Baltimore is our true city. And with an attitude too. It's like, hell yeah, we are a city. As a shipping center, for sure. And it has historic, you know, Francis Scott Key and, you know, the Star Spangled Banner was created there. Fort McHenry and things like that. So as a city, as an urban city that has good history, Washington, D.C. is a manufactured city mm-hmm. and it's its own little entity, but Maryland wraps around it. And
yeah.
So it, you know, it, I would count it. We would go into the city, visit the Smithsonian, all the museums and go in. You know, I remember watching Redskins football games, mm-hmm. Going in, seeing the cherry blossoms. I mean, the history of what is in D.C., it's not Maryland, but it's so next to where I grew up that I count it as, mm-hmm. you know, right next mm-hmm. to Maryland.
Huh.
To the west, Frederick, Hagerstown, these are smaller towns, and they have grown up immensely in, you know, the years since I've left. But as far as huge, big metropolis kinds of feels, Baltimore is it, and Maryland, or D.C., but mm-hmm. there's not, you know, that's kind of the extent of the big, big kinds of cities.
Yeah. You know, I've always kind of wondered what a Marylander feels about the city of Washington, D.C., I guess. Yeah, and it sounds like you just kind of consider it part of the state, but not quite. Well, obviously, you don't. It's not part of the government, and the citizens there can't vote in Maryland elections, but...
No, and so from my experience growing up as a kid through mm-hmm. high school, it just was... There's a border, and I knew mm-hmm. it was not part of Maryland, but, as you know, as a kid, my sister and I would take the red line, the metro from Silver Spring, which is a little suburb, mm-hmm. into the city and meet up with our mom who worked in town. And so it just became, it was just a part of what I knew.
Yeah.
It's got true borders. And today I'm sure people would say it feels distinct or different. And it feels pretty connected in my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That, you know, when you mentioned the red line on the metro system, you can scoot right on up to Maryland on it. Silver Spring.
Mm-hmm. That was the terminus of the red line back when I was there. I'm sure that extends further by now.
I don't know. But I would think that I'm just looking at the map and how of the United States we have up here. And everything has like right angles and long borders. And there's Maryland that's really sort of interesting.
Well, right. I mean, if you look on the Eastern Seaboard, it's one of those 13 original colonies, and they
right.
were small. And so you could go through many states just traveling, whereas in Idaho, you know, you drive to Boise and it's 8 hours and you're still in the same state.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Delaware. You mentioned D.C. and you mentioned the mountains. Did you have much of a relationship in Maryland to Delaware? It's like Delaware took a chunk out of Maryland.
Yeah. You know?
Well, right. So I think Bethany Beach is in Delaware. So you'd go through the Eastern Shore, and then it just happens to be maybe not. I can't quite remember, but we didn't spend a lot of time. It's right next to it. I mean, it's closer. You got to cross the water mm-hmm. to get over mm-hmm. there. Wilmington
right.
is on the way up to Pennsylvania to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Do you get back often?
You know, Jim, I haven't been back since my mom moved probably 8 years ago.
Okay.
And it's interesting because the place, there are places there that mean a lot to me.
Sure.
Often they're connected with the people that I knew when I was there. But I would love to go back to Western Maryland and hike in the Catoctin Mountains. Just the feeling of some of the places. Last year I was visiting some friends in Baltimore
mm-hmm.
and did the Inner Harbor thing mm-hmm. that I remember doing as a kid on, you know, field trips in fourth grade. So it that was nostalgic to just see the city again.
That was a big kind of urban renewal project that Baltimore did. I don't know exactly when, but late 20th century, I think, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's got a history of being, you know, having challenges like cities do and crime mm-hmm. and things, but it's done a nice rejuvenation. Mm-hmm. To rebuild its downtown. I can't speak currently about it because I just haven't been there, but
yeah.
It's a prideful city. I mean, it's got, you know, the Ravens, it's got the Orioles. The Orioles haven't done well for a long time, but, you know, but it's a prideful city and it really believes in itself. Mm-hmm. And that feels good to have as a part of my heritage.
Yeah.
You mentioned oysters, so let's talk food. If Jack and I were going to go on a road trip to Maryland, what should we enjoy in terms of cuisine that if we didn't, we'd miss something that's essentially Maryland?
Yeah, well, on the Eastern Shore in St. Mary's County, where I grew up, that's, you know, along the Chesapeake, mm-hmm. Soft-shell crab, that's seasonal. That's when the crabs are molting, and so you catch mm-hmm. them before they have their new exoskeleton shell on.
Ah, okay.
I didn't know that, so...
I thought there was like an animal called the soft-shelled crab.
Yeah.
I've never had it, obviously.
It's a crab. It's just... Yeah. But
it's a regular crab.
Right, but yeah. Having blue crab, you know, you steam them and you have Old Bay seasoning and you lay out your newspaper on the table and you got a little block and it's really yeah. messy and you're mining, you're breaking open the crab and taking the legs off and having your little pick and uh-huh. it takes a lot of energy. So you got your corn on the cob and your beans and your beer
yeah.
and you're having a good time with
yeah.
blue crabs.
Uh-huh. Let's go back to the crabs. This is before they get their hard shell on?
It's in between. there's a season, and again, I was not mm-hmm. a fisherman for right. them, but they don't make them like that. It's a yeah. seasonal when they change their shells.
Yeah,
they're
more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay, uh-huh. okay.
Very interesting.
I didn't know that.
Learn something new here.
Whenever I think of Maryland, I think of crab cakes
and crab cakes. Mm. You bet. Uh huh. And fried oysters and smoked oysters and mm-hmm. oysters on the half shell. Mm-hmm. Oyster stew.
What he's doing, he's reminding me of Forrest Gump. Remember Forrest yeah. Gump with different kinds of shrimp?
Oh, yeah.
you had me with most of the oyster things right up to oyster stew. And that, I think you lose me there. That seems the texture of a stew with the kind of gooey oyster. I don't know.
Right. Think uh-huh. clam chowder. It's a little right. bit, it's a little thinner broth uh-huh. in the county. You know, we would go and collect, you know, you could get a jar, like a quart jar of oysters.
Sure.
And then you would okay. make your stew.
Uh-huh. Oyster stew. Well, I'd try a cup. Maybe wouldn't commit to a bowl right away, but I'd order a cup of that. Yeah, that could be good. Let's see. So we talked the West. We talked kind of the central part, the cities where you spent your high school years, I guess. We talked a little bit about the East Shore. And the Bay, and what else remains to be said? What else can you tell us about the state of Maryland?
Well, I'd like to ask David about, he mentioned that he'd like to go back and hike mm-hmm. In the western part of the state. And how long have you lived out here in North Idaho?
Yeah, I've been here since 94 and okay. bouncing around the West since 1990.
Okay, so... Hiking back in the western part of the state. What else do you think you miss? Well, the food, some of the food.
Yeah, I think just like when things are home, when they're familiar, they just feel like home. And so, I mean, I could say mm-hmm. seeing in D.C., going on the mall, you know, seeing all of the monuments and all of the things.
Mm.
We would go up in the 80s. So the 4th of July, you know, there's like 500,000 people for the fireworks.
Right.
And so that was just a growing up experience and seeing so many people and then seeing, you know, the fireworks festival and the Beach Boys would play. And I mean, it was a thing back then.
Festive.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Riding the Metro, you know, these are the kinds of things that have nostalgia for me.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Mm-hmm. And if Jack and I, after we're done eating our oyster stew, what are some of the things you highly recommend that we, you know, maybe go on and cheer the Baltimore Orioles? They need that.
They do. I would say going to Annapolis.
Ooh, tell me more about that.
It's the capital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's a water town. It's a harbor town. Naval Academy is there.
Mm-hmm. Lots of neat old buildings.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's old brick. It's an old downtown. So it's, you know, as a colony, Annapolis was part of that. It was one of the towns mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in that era. So some of those old buildings are still there. It has that feel to it. Just, you know, I think actually in deeper southern Maryland, St. Mary's County, where I grew up, way at the very base of St. Mary's County is where, you know, when... when, you know, the boats came over early on, they landed down in St. Mary's City. Mm. So that's the beginnings of Maryland are in St. Mary's County. Mm. And so there's St. Mary's College, which is a small liberal arts school that they have arts and music and just very old feel to that part of the state.
The unrelated to the Chesapeake Bay or Southern Maryland, I just came across the little fact that the Western Maryland and Central Maryland are connected at one point. The northern and southern boundaries are separated by 1.8 miles.
I was going to say 6, but it's 1.8
miles is the narrowest that it gets that narrow. I mean, we think the Idaho Panhandle is narrow. About 60 miles, right. But it's, yeah, 1.8 miles connects it. But I guess it's better than, like, Michigan, which is connected not at all.
Right.
So, you know, it's just interesting how these, how the boundaries are formed, and suddenly, as soon as they're formed, they tend to be permanent. Well, we're growing short on time here. We're just past 20 minutes. And I guess what have we forgotten to ask you about?
What would you have liked us to ask you about?
That's a great question. I guess I would say the people. DC is a cosmopolitan city, so there's lots of mm-hmm. ethnic foods and things like that. I really appreciated growing up in St. Mary's County, mm-hmm. the ethnicity. Mm-hmm. Idaho, most people look like the three of us sitting in here.
Yeah, yeah.
And mm-hmm. I was fortunate to live in a city with a number of African American and some Asian mm-hmm. Classmates. So I that's a refreshing part that whenever I go back, I really appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you run across many Marylanders as you have moved around after you left Maryland? I mean, like here in Sandpoint, is there a group called the Marylanders in Potato Land or something like that?
Mm-hmm. No, but whenever I see a Maryland plate or I find somebody from Maryland, I identify that and I feel really good about that. So that's the reflection back of like, yes.
Uh-huh. Now, I have to admit, though, that I remember state flags. The Maryland one is really colorful with yellow, red, black, and they're intense. They're not pastels.
It is. I love the flag. It's a little bit, it's really old. It's probably got a connotation of mm-hmm. of colonialism or imperialism even, but mm-hmm. I think it's the best flag.
I'm looking at it now. It's
And it's usually on the plates. It's usually on the plates.
Okay.
Yeah, it catches my eye.
It certainly does.
I'm glad it does, Jim.
David, we want to thank you. We've been talking Maryland with David Barth, a Sandpoint, Idaho resident, and we want to thank you very much.
I have to ask before he goes, it just occurred to me, what did you think of the TV show The Wire? Probably the most famous TV show set in Maryland. I would guess. I don't know.
I have to admit, I don't even know it.
I don't either.
Well,
you're not alone.
I don't think it painted a very flattering portrait of Maryland, but then again, it's a cop show, so it's a crime show.
Okay, I'm sure Baltimore was the butt of that joke.
Exactly.
That's too bad. I would say it probably doesn't characterize it well.
No, probably not. I'm glad you set the record straight here in pop culture. For all of our
Jack.
Listeners.
Oh, good for asking.
Okay, great. Hey, thanks a lot. That's David Barth from Maryland.